Take two, side A, interview with Mr. Fred Dean.
I'm having my second interview with Mr. Fred Dean, and we decided to kind of go over the changes that took place in Long Beach by his reviewing some of the work experience he had as a young boy. And Fred started with selling newspapers handed by hand in the various businesses in Long Beach.
And I sold it on foot and run around into different business houses on Pine Avenue and all the merchants there, I knew them and would take the newspapers in and put them on their desk, and once a week I'd come back and collect for them. And there were no, as it gone through, there was all local stores, and at that time, Long Beach was run by a commission form of government, and it was a mayor and commissioner form of government, and we changed over later to the mayor and the council and city manager form of government, and that was a political deal to change the police operation of Long Beach. They wanted to get the different police operation, and they couldn't do it under the commission form, so they changed over the type of government, and by changing the type of government, the city manager automatically was the head of the police department, and he still is. And I think it's been a very good thing, because it's been a flexible deal, and it's worked out fine.
When did they change from the commission system to the council? Do you recall?
It was about someplace around 1926, 27 in there. Could have been a little earlier.
When you were a boy growing up in Long Beach, then it was still that was our.
Oh yes, it was. Well, even when I went in business, it was still a commission form, and. thing is that the town at that time was gradually changing, because the east side of Long Beach, the east side of Long Beach Boulevard, or what is now East Long Beach Boulevard, it was called American Avenue, was the industrial area, and it went between 4th Street and 1st Street out. Clear out to, well, any place out in there was the industrial. The Long Beach Milling Company was on, Railroad Avenue and, Cerritos. And, Railroad Avenue now is called 2nd Street. Long Beach, Iron Works was on Olive Avenue at between 2nd and 1st Street, and all the business was out there. The Southern Pacific Railroad Station was on Atlantic Avenue south of 2nd Street. 2nd Street then was 2nd Street, now it's called Broadway. All these places, when they started developing the harbor area, moved to the harbor area, and they had become the industrial area. All the good homes we had in Long Beach, the best homes, were on Cedar and Chestnut and Magnolia, from Ocean to up to 10th Street. And Circle Park was a beautiful little park up there with the homes circling it, and a lot of those homes now are being reserved for heritage homes.
Now, this was in the time when you were a youngster.
Yeah.
These homes were
all of the beautiful homes. But this transaction of deals happened after 1920, when the things started moving from the east side to the west side, and the east side became the better part of town. Then the Long Beach opened up an area called Los Cerritos, and that become a very exclusive place.
Now, what period of time are we talking about?
Right around 1918 to 1925, and that was when the Las Vegas area was growing, and all the wealthy people and people that wanted a big home with big yards and all went out there.
Well, now we talked about your family owning the grocery business out on what?
Anaheim and Walnut.
Anaheim and Walnut.
And
being there from 1907 to 1908 approximately.
That's when the Depression hit and they went out of business. I think I got that on the other crate.
Right. And then you were in sixth grade and finishing elementary school then about that time.
I was in sixth grade in elementary school, and I had to quit on account of my father got a job at $15 a week, and my brother Jim got a compound fracture of his arm, and my brother Kenny shot his eye out, and mother went to work in the only restaurant there was downtown. It was Shoop's Restaurant, and she took the two boys with her down there because she was close to the doctors, and I went to work on the Bartlett Chicken Ranch, and I worked up there, was there until we went on the ranch up in Olinda, Shasta County in 1912.
At the Bartlett Chicken Ranch. Chicken Ranch. What kind of work did you do? I mean, feeding?
I fed chickens, cleaned chicken houses, built chicken houses, repaired chicken fences. I got so I could take the hot water, dip the chickens in hot water to pick them. And I could pick them in 20 seconds. I could take all the feathers off a chicken in 20 seconds.
20 seconds.
And I throw them over into a tub, and we had women. I kept three women taking care of them, taking the pin feathers out before we delivered them. And we delivered the chickens to practically all the hotels in Long Beach, bought chickens from the Bartlett Ranch, and they dressed chickens. Virginia Hotel was one of our best customers. And
yeah, you were working there at a time which was, you'd mentioned the Depression in 1908 when your father went out of the grocery business. Had the economy picked up then sufficiently?
Yeah, it picked up some, but not too much. It lay dormant for a long while. Long Beach was very dormant until we hit oil on Single Hill in 1920.
So it was dormant all that time then?
Yeah, it really didn't do much. And all of a sudden, when they hit oil, it went to town.
Wait, you returned from the ranch in Shasta?
In 1914.
And then you, what did you do then? You returned to school?
I went to school until I graduated from grammar school.
And
I went to Atlantic Avenue School. I graduated from Atlantic. And
you mentioned something about working for the L.A. Tribune.
They call it circulation manager for Long Beach, but I wasn't. I was a fellow that took the papers off the PE cars from Los Angeles down and divided them up into bundles that were the for each route and sent them out on the local PE cars to the carriers who would carry them from there to their destination. And I did that until I went to work for the Green Ground Drugstore in 1914.
Well, how large an area of distribution, and what was the type of population you had in Long Beach during
when I come here, it was about 10,000, and it was about 20,000 when I was working for Bartlett Ranch, about 20,000, 25,000, and it didn't go very fast. We struck oil, and then after we struck oil, we did have a boom prior to striking oil. When World War I came along in 1916 to 18, things went right up. See, they really went up, and when the war got over, it was 1920, wasn't it? It got over 1918. It was 1918, and I worked for the shipyard for 1920.
Then,
1919, I should say.
What kind of industries or what activities were taking place in Long Beach?
Well,
during the war that accounted for the...
Well, the shipyards was a big part of it. Craig Shipbuilding Company was down here, and they were in Long Beach. And then the people who lived in Long Beach worked for the Western Shipyard Building Company, which was now the Todd Shipyard, and the Los Angeles Shipbuilding Company was the biggest one, and they were all building ships, so they were that was a big enterprise for work. The lumber companies developed down along the harbor and so forth, so it's the big lumber companies that got into the picture.
Now, were these businesses, Craig Shipyard and Todd, were they in both Long Beach and LA Harbor?
Craig Shipyard was strictly in Long Beach. It was in the Long Beach Harbor. It was right off of about 3rd Street in the harbor area. And it's down pretty close to where Procter & Gamble is today. And the L.A. Shipyard was over on Cerritos Channel in the Los Angeles Harbor. And Todd Shipyard was down close to the ocean on the same channel.
Yeah.
And the oil was struck in 1920. And the first ranch was Alamitos Number 1, was owned by Mrs. Lowry, and she was a very close friend and chum, frankly, of my mother. And so I followed through, and her son, who owns it today, is Jim Lowry, and he lives just around the corner from me now.
Oh.
So we're still friends.
Right in this area of
And my sister and her husband, he had contracted tuberculosis, and he went out on Single Hill to see if he couldn't get well and raise chickens, because he had been a laffer, and the laffing deal was so much moisture in the air in the buildings doing the laffing that he figured that's what caused it. He figured he would die if he stayed there. But he went out there and was doing fairly well with chickens when the oil was struck, and attorney by the name of Phil Swaffield formed a syndicate of 20 acres in a lot and leased it to Union Oil Company, of which my sister today is still receiving the royalty from that same plot.
Where was that plot?
It was on Walnut Avenue, about... it's about 20th and Walnut, 21st Street and Walnut.
Yeah.
And it was on the east side of Walnut, went toward Cherry.
Mm-hmm.
So Victor Swaffield had a home up there, and he was up on the hill, so he had a nice home with a good view, and all of a sudden he moved down on First Street.
Did your sister and her husband stay?
They stayed there all the time.
During that time?
They stayed there until the oil got so much that they had to move off. Oil took their house and everything. They cleaned it all off, and oil companies were on there. And now that area is becoming back to its commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And
so how long were they able to survive up there?
After the oil? They was up there for, I would say, about 6 or 7 years.
So they stayed to the late
20s, and sometimes. Yes, and then they started in and bought a mobile home and started traveling from one place to another. And she still lives in a mobile home.
Well, you mentioned that they had to leave the oil covered, what, actually making the house dirty?
Well, no, it wasn't room enough for the oil companies and people to live on it. And besides, there was too much noise and too much oil in the air and everything else, and there's too many chances of fire, so it wasn't a nice place to live in. But the money they got out of the oil, they didn't have to live there.
What kind of homes did they have up there?
All of them, what they call California homes. Well, up and down board houses, most of them. And that's the area that the Chinamen used to have their gardens in, and we got all our produce from there. That was one of the big places that when I was a kid that we used to go up there to play on that hill, because we'd get free strawberries and watermelons and everything else from the Chinamen.
Were they there at the time when the Chinamen?
No. The Chinamen were driven off of there by the fact that the land got too high and it was subdivided, and that's when, like, Swalfields and my sister and her husband and everybody else bought that property up there to live up there on the hill, and that's when the Chinese were gone.
Yeah. So it was no longer the truck farm then.
Oh, they left all there in the early 20s.
Yeah. Well, we were trying to get back to some of the developments of Long Beach, and you mentioned working at the L.A. shipyard during World War One. And you returned, or you left the shipyard, and then worked for a short time with American Cargill.
Yeah.
Now, that was in downtown
Long Beach. Long Beach was booming at that time. It was really getting to go into town. The big problem in the hardware store was to be able to buy enough merchandise to have the merchandise to supply the contractors who were building buildings here. The town was just going right up and up. The prices on land was bouncing as bad as they do now, only it was a different figure. For instance, I went out on 10th Street, 10th and Orange, and I saw a lot I wanted to buy. And the fellow said he wanted $1,500 for it. And I says, well, that's a lot of money that I don't think you pay. And so I had decided it was too much to pay for that lot. So while I was working for the hardware store, I delivered out there to build a house on the lot. And I said, do you own this lot? And he says, yes. I says, you buy it just recently? He says, yes. I says, what'd you pay for it? He said, I paid $3,000 for it. He said, I got to buy.
That's something. Double the price of what you were.
We're back a couple months ahead of that.
What was causing the boom? Is this still the reaction from the war industry?
Well, the reaction from the war, yes. All these people come out here from the war and they stayed. And the shipyards kept on going.
Uh-huh.
And other industry followed them in. And Long Beach became a fairly thriving town then.
So it's the combination of the industry and the influence.
Yes, that was it.
Because this was actually before the discovery of oil on Signal Hill.
The war was before the discovery of
right.
World War One was. Yeah. World War One was over in 1918. It was over, and the discovery of oil was in 1920.
21. Yeah. But the boom from the war carried right on up
yeah.
to the time then with the oil.
And so...
What kind of... you were in business in Long Beach then with the radio, or wireless business
yeah.
then in 1920.
And it changed over to radio. And then we put in a broadcasting station, the station KSS, and that was the first station west of the Mississippi River, and the first one in Long Beach. And we run that to KHA, and KFI decided to put in two big Westinghouse stations, and we didn't leave the air because we were all on 360 meters. And if we didn't leave the air, they'd spend that much money and come on with their stations, which I was one of them that left. We were very happy to have those two Westinghouse stations here because I was in the retail radio business, and it was made it easier to sell sets to better programs and better everything else. And at that time, they allowed the Central Radio Commission allowed to have advertising on the air. Up to that time, we couldn't charge. We had the program was put on and sponsored by somebody or by an orchestra or a pianist or a soloist or a speaker that come on for free and talked, and we didn't have control of it. But when they changed over and allowed it to charge for the commercials on it, that's when radios went down, and it sure helped all of us that were in the radio business then.
How long did you actually run a radio station before you were put on the... About 3 years.
We ran KFS about 3 years. And we, shortly after we went off, KFOM come on.
So you were in the radio business then, it's approximately 1925 or?
No, it was about 1924.
And then you said who came on after you?
KFOM. KFOM. And they had their headquarters in the Jurgens building.
Then when did the Westinghouse station?
They come on about 22 or 23. I can't remember. It's just,
is KFOM one of those?
No, that was KFI and KHJ were two 500-watt Westinghouse stations, and now those two stations are 50,000-watt stations. They built up, in those days, everything had to have an aerial to receive on a radio set. You had to have an aerial to receive on it. Today, the radio wave goes right through everything, and you don't have to have an aerial.
You were working when you started in the radio business in 1920, and you had left the hardware store at that time, or it was 1919, and you were working for Press, was it?
No, I never worked for them. I bought into their, I bought a third interest in their organization, and then we changed it to Press Broderick Dean. At that time, Mr. Broderick had an electric shop, and when I went into it, it was a time that Catalina Island didn't have any telephone communication, and they put in a radio station between Long Beach and Catalina Island, and the Long Beach Telephone Company put it in, and the radio men that did the work did most all the work in our store, and we sold a lot of radio equipment. We sold so much of it that we quit the electric business and went into the radio business exclusively, and that's how we happened to start the radio station. And at that time we formed a radio research society and got an experimental license. And we had all the young fellows in Long Beach that wanted to study radio and to work with radio. And we had classes and club meetings and everything else to build up radio in the town. And it really, really went to town. We had a good group of fellows, and some of them have made real successes in the radio business since then.
Well, now classes for people to be on the radio, people
that wanted to repair and build radios. People that wanted to get in and know what to do with radio and build it and so forth. And a lot of those people turned out to be people that have owned big companies and so forth. They made it on radio because they grew with it.
Were they in radio then in Southern California?
No. See, when we had that class, we was the only radio store in Long Beach. There wasn't any other radio stores but us. And there wasn't any more radio stores. So about 1920, I think the second and third store got into our town about 1923. And we've gotten to be pretty good sized store, and we moved to 4th and Long Beach Boulevard, or 4th and American, in 1923, and we went to town then because I got an exclusive agency on the Colby Kennedy Company, which had built a three-tube battery-operated radio set, and our problem wasn't to sell them. It was, the problem was to buy them. And I happened to have a very good connection with both Colin B. Kennedy, his district sales manager, and Mr. Kuroff, who I got him to be the distributor in Los Angeles for the Kennedy line, and see that I got the exclusive agency for Long Beach. And everybody wanted it, but nobody got it. And that's where we really developed into the radio business. And then in 1927, we moved across the street into a new building and built it there. We made a beautiful Spanish type of places with big Spanish walls, adobe like walls, and for the backs of our windows, and tile roofs over our office rooms and things like that. And it was a show spot for Long Beach. Plus, it was really a money-making deal for us to sell radios.
How long were you in that location?
We were there 1949 to 1946. And we added to our radio, we added refrigeration, electric ranges, washing machines, and table appliances. We had all that when we moved.
You really had large clients.
Yes, had a large radio and large clients. We was the, according to a survey that the Press Telegram made in about 1931, they said that we had sold over 25% of all the radio people that had radios in Long Beach. And they put out a survey, which was a paper, to have them write in who they bought their radio from and all. And we had 25% of all of us sold.
Now, was that business at that time mainly retail?
All retail.
All retail.
And we didn't go to the wholesale business until World War II come along.
Yeah. Were you still with your original partners at that time?
No, yes, we was. I bought out one partner in 1921, Mr. Butter, and I bought out Mr. Press in 1932.
Mm-hmm. And then that's when in 1932 you became the Fred S. Dean Company.
That's right.
And then you continued that way, I gather, pretty much through World War II then.
Yes. So, and we incorporated in 1946 to name it Dean's Electronics. And my children come in. My son Norbert became the manager of the company, and my daughter Dorothy become the secretary of the company.
And were you in that location, or is that when you moved?
We had moved to 969 Long Beach Boulevard at that time. And built our own store and moved into it.